Today's shir is Masechta Shabbos Daf Yotes. We will begin on Daf Yotes Amud Beis, 10 lines from the bottom. Beis Shammayim Ein Moichrim. We learned in the Mishnah the Beis Shammai's opinion was that we may not sell something to an Akum, and we may not help put something on him unless he could on Erev Shabbos, unless he could get to the Makom Karov, to the next city, as we're going to learn, before Shabbos. And Beis Hillel is lenient. Tana Rabbanu Beis Shammai Omrim. So in expounding on this din, says the Braisa, Beis Shammai Omrim, Lo Yinkov Adam Chavtzoi L'Nochri. One may not sell an object to a Nochri in Erev Shabbos. V'lo Yeshilenu. You may not lend him something. Lending means, She'ela means that you lend it to him and expect to get it back, to get the exact object that I lent back. Ken la yovena means I may not lend him something. The difference between Hava and Shaila, as I just started saying, is by Shaila you expect to get back the very same object that you lent. By Hava, you expect to get it back, but you don't expect to get back the exact same object that you lent. Typically, that would mean that you lent money. Ella, v'lo yitein la matana. Nor should you give something that belongs to you to the Akum as a gift. Ella kedei sheyigia lebeisai. Unless the Akum could get to his house on Erev Shabbos. Because otherwise, it looks like I'm asking him to do a melacha, the melacha of carrying, on my behalf on Shabbos. Beis Hillel disagree, and they hold, Omrim kedei sheyigia lebeis ha-samach l'chaima. As long as he could get to the city, to the first house in the city where he lives, since he could put down whatever he has at that point, at that place, and then he could continue walking after once Shabbos began, but nobody will assume that he's doing it b'shlichus, as a Yisrael is asking him to do it. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Rabbi Kiva, in understanding Beis Hillel's opinion, is even more lenient. As long as the Akum can leave the Jew's house before Shabbos, it makes no difference where he could get to. As long as he left my house before Shabbos, it's permissible. Says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, Hein Divrei Rabbi Kiva, Hein Divrei Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel and Rabbi Kiva are not arguing. Rabbi Kiva actually is agreeing with Beis Hillel. Rabbi Kiva's entire purpose here was to explain the opinion of Rabbi Kiva. There's actually a machloikish. What is the opinion of Beis Hillel? The Tanakama's opinion was that Beis Hillel's opinion is that the Akum has to get it to another house, to the first house in his city before Shabbos. Rabbi Kiva's opinion is that he has to just get it out of the house of the Yisrael, and that is actually the halacha. So our Gemara now discusses a situation of nothing to do with Shabbos. It's a Hilchis Chametz, a Pesach situation, but the concept is very similar. Tana Rabbanan, B'shem Omrim LaYinka Adam Chemtzer LaNakri, a Jew may not sell his Chametz to an Akum, Elm Kenim Yodeya Shiyich L'Kodim HaPesach, Divrei Beis Shammai. According to Beis Shammai, you have to make sure that the Akum will eat up your chametz before Pesach comes. Beis Hillel Omrim, Kozman Shemutal L'Ochloi, as long as you're allowed to eat chametz, Mutal L'Mochrei, I'm allowed to sell it to an Akum. And the fact that the Akum will now have my chametz, it's not a problem, because it's not my chametz. The entire mitzvah of beer chametz is that I have to get it out of my rishus. And I got it out of my rishus, and that's why Beis Hillel says it's mutter. Beis Shammai is machmer, and the reason Beis Shammai is machmer is only because he's concerned for haroma. He's concerned that people are going to really not sell it and say that they sold it. Continues the Braiser, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Kutach HaBavli. Kutach HaBavli was a type of a dip that had in it breadcrumbs, and since it's not, and it was used as a dip, so since it's not eaten up very quickly, then you have to be concerned that even if you sold it a while before Pesach, it will not be eaten up before Pesach. Kutach habavli kol mina kutach, all these types of dips, oslam k'shloshim yom koyin l'Pesach. Because as Rashi explains, number one, Rabbi Yehuda clearly concurs with the opinion of Beis Shammai. And number two, since this kutach is the type of food that's not sold, that's not eaten quickly, we need to be concerned, says Rabbi Yehuda, says Beis Shammai, that food will still be around on Pesach. So why is there a cutoff date of Shloshim Yom Koyin LaPesach? Explain all the Rishonim, because the Halacha is Shloshim Yom Koyin LaChag, 30 days before Yontif, is when Yontif actually is beginning. Before 30 days before Yontif, we need not think about it. Furthermore, says the Sfas Emes, Rabbi Yehuda is adding another Chiddush. The Chiddush Rabbi Yehuda is adding is that this Halacha that Beis Shammai is teaching us is not only by pure chametz, but even when in a situation where it's just teruvas chametz, as we're discussing over here, also Beis Shammai will be machmer. Tana Rabbanan, continues the Gemara, the Braisa taught us, noisim mezoinis lefnei akala b'chotzer. We're allowed to give food to a dog in our chotzer, and then in notloi v'yotza, if the dog takes out that food from my chotzer, I don't have to stop him from carrying out my food outside of the chotzer. Ki yotzba, similar halacha, noisim mezoinis lefnei anocha b'chotzer, I may give food to an akum in my chotzer. Tosfos points out, it's strictly a situation where the akum is standing in my chotzer and I'm feeding him. But if the nochri is standing outside and I'm inside, I'm in the Shusha Yochan and he's in the Shusha Rabbim, that would be usher. Because there we have, as we began the Masechta, Nakira and Hanocha and Rishus Yocha to Rishus Rabbim. So Kiyotz, when Noisim Zayin Slufnei Anoch v'chotzer, we'll have to give food to Anochri in the chotzer, not lo v'yotza, and if the Anochri goes and takes that food outside, ain't a skokin lo. Says Taisvis, we learned at the beginning of our shiur today, the Beis Shammai said, we're not allowed to sell or lend food to a Nochri on Erev Shabbos if he can't get with that food before Shabbos. So why is this permissible? Because this is very different. Because there, as we explained a moment ago, the Nochri is taking it outside of is carrying it outside my chotzer. Here, if he's standing in my chotzer, it's a very different scenario. Moreover, everything we're talking about in this braisa, says Tosfos, is only regarding food, as we're going to learn in a moment. There was special dispensation said regarding food, but it has nothing to do with other foods. Says the Rashba, that even food that we're allowed to give to the Nochri, who's standing in my chotzer, says the Rashba, it's only in a situation where the Nochri has not made it clear to us that it is his intention to take that food outside the chotzer. But if the Nochri made it clear that his intention is not to keep the food here, but his intention is to take the food outside the chotzer, then even Beis Hillel, says the Rashba, would be machmer, because you're not allowed to give something to a Nochri to carry out from your chotzer on Shabbos. That's the Gemara. Hasul Amali, why did we need to have the same halacha twice? Why do we have to have the halacha regarding a Nochri and regarding a kelev? Both are ostensibly the same halacha. Answers the Gemara, Madutei Mahai, by the dog, Ramele. We have an obligation to feed the dogs, even if it's not a dog that I own. Because the Torah says, because the dogs did not bark, Layachrit Kelev is Lashonai, since the dog did not bark as we left Mitzrayim, the halacha is l'kalav tashlichno, so we have an obligation to feed them. And in fact, now we understand why our Gemara, when it teaches us this halacha, speaks about dogs more than any other animal. Although the Paiskim say, the halacha that we're learning here applies to all animals. Hi, however, when we speak about an akum loy ramayalei. I don't have that same level of obligation to feed him, and therefore maybe the halacha would be that I'm not allowed to give him even food in my chotzer. Kamash malon. That's what the Brice has to teach us, that even the akum, we have an obligation. So ask Tosfos, we just explain why by a dog we have the special obligation, but that halacha doesn't apply by akum. So why indeed is the halacha by an akum allowed to give him food in my chotzer? So Tosfos answers that the Gemara Masechet Gittin Daf Samach Aleph Amar Aleph teaches us Mefarnesin as Aniyah Hanochrim Yachad Im Aniyah Yisrael Vemnei Darkei Shalom. We have to give tzedakah not just to Jewish people who need, but to Akum as well. So now we could understand that just like by a dog, we have an obligation to feed him, and it's considered Mezonos Halacha. So too is the same halacha by an akum. Says the Gemara, Tan Rabbanan, Lo Yoska Adam Kelev L'Nochri B'Erev Shabbos. You're not allowed to rent something to an akum on Erev Shabbos. B'Yoyim B'Revi U'B'Chamishi Mutar. On Wednesday and Thursday, it's permissible. So now there's a very big Mechlokes Rishonim. Why indeed may we not rent different items to an akum before on Erev Shabbos? Tosfos, the very mask loy, is it looks like Schar Shabbos. When I'm renting something to the akum for Shabbos, it looks like I'm collecting payment for Shabbos. Whereas when I rent it to him on Thursday and Friday, it's not so obvious that I'm collecting Schar Shabbos. And moreover, whenever we speak about the halacha of Schar Shabbos, says Tosfos, there's a concept of havlah. If I don't get paid for every day separately, I just get paid by the week, by the month, by the year, that's not called Schar Shabbos. And therefore, when it's rented on Friday, it looks much more like Schar Shabbos than it does when it's on Thursday and Friday. And according to this explanation, says the Ritva, who agrees with Tosfos, the Issa would only be if I'm renting it to the Akum. But if I'm not renting it to him, I'm lending it to him, so there's no concern of Schar Shabbos, and therefore it would be permissible. So here we learn the halacha of Schar Shabbos. So I saw a shaila. There was somebody making a simcha in a shul, and he wanted to have a chazan come daven be the shliach tzibur by his simcha. The issue, however, was that there's a bat tefillah who davens there every week in that shul, gets paid to daven there every week, and he didn't want to lose his salary. So the bat simcha told the chazan kavua, you don't have to come to shul, and I'll pay you as if you came. The question was, is that considered schar Shabbos? So Reb Chaim Brisker teaches us that the issue of Schar Shabbos is not that you're not allowed to earn money on Shabbos. The halacha of Schar Shabbos is you're not allowed to work to make payment. But if you're not working, as this chazan isn't working, then there's no isser of Schar Shabbos. Ramosha doesn't seem to agree with this approach, because Ramosha says that there's an issue, he says, of Schar Shabbos when somebody has money in the bank and he earns interest every day. And then so he's earning money for Shabbos and he's earning money for, even though he's not doing anything, it's just sitting there in the bank and it earns interest. So he seemed to see that Ramosha disagrees, and Ramosha held that Schar Shabbos doesn't require that you should have to work for the Schar Shabbos. Rav Shlomo Zalman disagrees with Ramosha. Rav Shlomo Zalman, the Mecha Shlomo, clearly indicates that earning interest on Shabbos is not considered Schar Shabbos. Similarly, when we speak about Schar Shabbos, Rav Issa Zalman said that a doctor who works on Shabbos is allowed to get paid for working on Shabbos. And it's not considered Schar Shabbos. Because Rav Issa Zalman said that the Issa Schar Shabbos only applies in a situation where what is being done wasn't really allowed to be done apidin. But here, apidin, you are allowed to a doctor is allowed to do whatever he has to do to save a patient. And therefore, it's a very different situation. And Rabbi Zalman held that that isn't considered Schar Shabbos. Continues the Gemara. No, so now there are other reasons why for this halacha. The Rashba explains that it's a concept that we've discussed earlier, that by renting something to the Akam on Friday, and then the Akam using it on Shabbos, it looks like he's my shliach to work with this item on Shabbos. The Rif, interestingly enough, does not bring down this halacha, and the Baal Amor says that the entire reason for this halacha goes back to what we discussed in previous shiurim, the concept that Beis Shammai taught us of Shvisa Shabbos, Shvisa Kalim, and we passing like Beis Hillel, that there is no issue of Shvisa Kalim, and if there's no issue of Shvisa Kalim, it would be mutter. So again, Tana Rabbanan lo yasko adam kalim v'nachir be'erev Shabbos, you may not rent kalim to an akum on erev Shabbos, b'revi u'b'chemishi mutter, ki yotzba, you may not send a letter with an akum on Friday, again, because it looks like he's your shliach to do malacha for you on Shabbos. Wednesday and Thursday is permissible. It says the Gemara Amal of Rabbi Yosi HaKoyin, family Rabbi Yosi HaChosid, Shlai Nimtza Ksav Nachri B'yad Nachri Ma'olam. He was machmer that he never had a Nachri deliver a package on his behalf because of the concerns that we're learning in this sugya. So the Gemara expands on this halacha of sending letters, how, what, when. Tana Rabbanan, Ein Meshachin Igros B'Yad Nochri Erev Shabbos. We're not allowed to send letters with an Akum and Erev Shabbos. Elam Kein Koitzitz Loi Domim. If the Yisrael makes up a certain amount, how much he's going to pay for that delivery, so then it doesn't look like the Akam is doing it in the shlichus of the Yisrael, and therefore it's mutter, because he's getting paid to do this job, and he's doing it on best of his terms. The Rashi teaches us that this heter that the Braisa just taught us is only going according to the opinion of Beis Hillel. Because according to Beis Hillel, just like Beis Hillel said at the beginning of our shiur, we could sell something to an Akam before Shabbos, this is no different. As long as the Akam takes it out of my house before Shabbos, I'm good to go. Beis Shammai Omrim, Kedei She'agil LeBeisoi, it has to be that the Akam should be able to take, you have to give it to the Akam enough time on Shabbos that he should be able to get to his house. Beis Hillel Omrim, Kedei She'agil LeBeis HaSomach L'Chaimai, the first house in the city. And as the Ritva explains, since we don't know exactly in which house in that town the Akum lives, we assume that he lives, we could be Makel and assume that he lives in the first house. So now the Gemara tries to understand this Braisa. First, the Gemara seems to think that this halacha that we just spoke about is even if I made up how much I'm going to pay, that I'm going to pay the Akum a set amount for doing this. Ask the Gemara, for like Kotzatz, didn't we just explain that if the Yisrael came to terms with the Akum that he's going to pay him a certain amount, then the halacha is that the Akum could take it out because he's doing it for his own purpose. Amar Rav Sheshes, says Rav Sheshes Hachakamar. This is the way to understand the Braisa. If it's Kotzatz, if he made up that he's going to pay the Akum a certain amount, then the halacha is the Akum could take it whatever you want on Friday, it doesn't make a difference to where he's going to get to. Vimloy kotzitz. But if you didn't make up a certain amount that you're going to pay the Akum, Beshameh Omrim, Beshameh says, true to their Shita, that you can't give him the letter on Erev Shabbos unless he could get Shigil Beisoy, until he could get to his home. And Beis Hillel is more lenient, and they say, as Shigil Beisoy, Somak L'chaim, as long as it gets to the first house in his city, that's good enough. Ask the Gemara, that how can we say that if it was loy kotzatz, there's still situations where it's mutter v'amrit reisha. The first words of the Braisa were, ein mishalchem. doesn't Ein Mishachem seem to indicate that under no circumstances may we send something with the Akum? So how can we start giving all of these different types of heterim? Answer Gemara Lakasha. Ha de Kaviya Bei Dava V'Masa. If there is a steady male or a steady mayor, then you could send it. For ha de like Kaviya Bei Masa, if there isn't. When can you send the Nochri with a letter on Erev Shabbos? If the person who you're sending the letter, there's an assumption that most people you send, usually you're sending a letter to the government. So if there's a set office for the mayor or whoever, then you could, if you could know that the Nochri could accomplish that before Shabbos, that's good, good. But if the person whom you're sending the letter to doesn't necessarily have a steady place where he lives in that city, so now we have to be concerned that he won't find him in his house, and he's going to have to start searching for him on Shabbos, and therefore he's doing melacha on my behalf, says the Ritva. So if I make up with him that if he doesn't find this person, you shouldn't go looking for him on Shabbos, so then there'll be mutter, because I didn't ask him to do any melacha. He could get to where he thought he has to get to before Shabbos, and I told him you don't have to do anything more, so that's going to be good enough. There is another pshat that the Beit Davar, Rashi explained the Beit Davar means the mayor. But the Reino Hanano and the Rif say the definition of Beit Davar is a post office. And they used to deliver all the mail, like they do nowadays, to the post office in the next city. And then the post office in that city distributes the mail. So if that's the situation, if the other city has a post office, we could be mekel. Tana Rabbanan. Eima fligim besvina. One may not take a trip on a boat. Pachs mishlosh yom kanin Shabbos. Less than 3 days before Shabbos. B'med var memurim. When was that said? L'dvar shos. If the entire reason I'm taking this trip is just for pleasure. Avol dvar mitzvah, if I'm traveling for dvar mitzvah, then shapadami, I could be more lenient. And there's a very, very big machlokas rishonim, different explanations in the rishonim for this halacha. Tosfos says that there's an issur shot. Shot means that on Shabbos, we're not allowed to swim because we're concerned that you may make a chavos shel shaitan. You may make a boat. And that's Osir on Shabbos. And going into the boat is therefore is Osir on Shabbos. Others explain that the reason is because Oynik Shabbos. Typically when somebody travels on a boat, the boat is not that shaky, and people don't feel well when they travel on the boat. But once they've been on the boat for a couple of days, and they've gotten used to it, so there's no concern of Oynik Shabbos. Another explanation that the Baal HaMor gives is that the concern is that you're not allowed to put yourself into a situation of sakona on Shabbos. That even though we learned and will learn that in a situation of sakona you're allowed to be mechal Shabbos, that doesn't mean you're allowed to deliberately put yourself into a situation of bekuach nefesh. And therefore, says the Baal HaMor, the 3 days before Shabbos are already considered like Shabbos. So at that point in the week, you're already obligated to start worrying that you shouldn't be Mechal Shabbos. And for that reason, many Paiskim suggest you shouldn't do elective surgery from Wednesday and on. Because if you do elective surgery, and you may still end up being in the hospital on Shabbos, or you may still need to be Mechal Shabbos, don't put yourself into such a situation. Another explanation is that we're following here the opinion of Beis Shammai. You're not allowed to do anything before Shabbos unless it gets done before Shabbos. And here, Erev Shabbos doesn't mean only Erev Shabbos. Erev Shabbos already means Wednesday. The Ramban has a different pshat. He says that the situation here is that most of the people traveling on this boat are Yisraelim. And we know that in driving the boat, there's a lot of Chil Shabbos involved. And since there's a lot of Chil Shabbos involved, so if they're mainly non-Jews on the boat, so what's being done is not being done for Jews. But if it's being done because all the passengers, or most of the passengers, are Jews, we're not allowed to have a situation where Akum does Malacha on behalf of a Jew on Shabbos. But if it's before Wednesday, then it's not considered Shabbos. This halacha is used regarding a shaila that the Tashbatz discusses, that a ger and a bris milah shloi bezmano, which obviously these are brisim that don't take place on the eighth day. He says such a bris should not be performed on Thursday, since there's a likelihood the Shabbos will have to be violated on behalf of this person, and therefore we should do something that, as we just explained, should bring Chil Shabbos. Of course, this is not a situation where the bris is being done on Yom HaShmini. When a bris is being done on Yom HaShmini, so that's what the Torah said to do, and we don't have to be, we can't do anything different than what the Torah tells us to do. Says the Shach, I disagree. He said, just like our Gemara says, that for a Dvar Mitzvah, you may take a trip on Erev Shabbos. A bris, says the Shach, is certainly a Dvar Mitzvah, and therefore you could do a bris even on Thursday or Friday, even if it's a bris Shaloi Bezmano. The Shel Shiavitz explains the Tashbatz. He says, that when are we allowed to do something for a Dvar Mitzvah, only if it's not certain that we're going to have to be Michal Shabbos. Here it's certain that we're going to have to be Michal Shabbos by the bris of a ger. And he therefore says, there's a difference between the bris on a ger and the bris on a Jewish baby. He says, by a Jewish baby, there's a halacha that his bris should not be postponed, even if it's a bris that's shloi bezmano. Because there's an obligation that every Jewish child should have a bris. A person that's becoming a ger doesn't have an obligation to become a ger. And therefore, it's a very different halacha. When we speak about Dvar Mitzvah, says the Ramah that taking a business trip is also classified as a Dvar Mitzvah, because one has an obligation to sustain his family. He says, even there are some Paiskim that say, even taking a trip to visit a friend or a family member may be considered a Dvar Mitzvah, because it's a mitzvah to get along with your family. It will turn out that according to these explanations, the definition of a Dvar Rishus will be extremely limited. Continues the Gemara, Upaisikimai. So if you're taking a trip within 3 days of Shabbos, you should make up with the ship company, Amnas Lishvois, that he won't travel on Shabbos. And then, Eina Shoivis, and if he does continue traveling in Shabbos, there's no problem. Divrei Rebbe. Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, Ein Tzarech. There's no need to go through this whole condition. Another halacha. Min Tzor L'Tzaiden. The city of Tzor and the city of Tzaiden were fairly close to each other. And since they're close to each other, I feel by Erev Shabbos, even on Erev Shabbos, you could take such a trip, because we need not be concerned that you won't make it there on top of Shabbos, before Shabbos. So the halacha is that any trip that you can make it to where you're going before Shabbos, such a trip may be done on Shabbos. But of course, you have to know how long it takes the trip. How long does it take you to make that trip? What I mean to say is that, let's say you can make it from Tzur to Tzaiden, but you can only make it from Tzur to Tzaiden if you leave Shabbos Friday morning. So then the halacha is that you can go Friday morning from Tzur to Tzaiden. But if you can't make it if you start later in the day, then you can't make that trip. Furthermore, you also have to leave yourself, since there are always different situations that come up that you can't anticipate, you have to leave yourself enough time for delays. Tanabonim, ain't sorin al yar shel nachrim. You're not allowed to go to war on the cities of Nachrim. Pachas mishlosh yom kodem Shabbos, less than 3 days before Shabbos. Vemischilu emafsikin. The obviously say the Rishonim, Yerushalmi actually says this, that we're talking here about a Melchemes Rishos. A Melchemes Mitzvah, of course, would have very different halachas. Why is this the halacha? So the Rif says, because a Bittel Einik Shabbos, as we kept on saying earlier, once you're within 3 days of Shabbos, you're already thinking about Shabbos, it's already part of the coming Shabbos. And war, if you're in war, you won't be able to have a proper Einik Shabbos. The Baal Hamor, again, as we said before, war involves risk. And you're not allowed to put yourself into a sakana for Shabbos if it's not something that you must do. However, says the Gemara of Mischilu, if they began the war, ein mafsikin. So the Drisha explains that what happened over here was, you're not allowed to start a war within 3 days. Even if it was your intention to have the war end before Shabbos, because we have to be concerned that something will come up, and now you'll end up being Michal Shabbos. But certainly, if they started Beheter, they started more than 3 days before Shabbos, there's no reason that you have to stop the war on Shabbos. V'ken ha'yishama oimer, the pasuk says, ad ridita, you'll have to go to war, afilu v'Shabbos. You'll have to continue war until the enemy goes down, even if it means being in war on Shabbos. Amar Rav Shimon Gamliel, we learned in the Mishnah, Rav Shimon Gamliel said, Noihagin Aya, that our family was machmer, that they didn't give garments to the laundry 3 days before Shabbos. Tanya Amar Tzadikach, Hayim and Hagish Rav Gamliel, Sheinoisim Kli Levin L'Kavish Shloishi Yom Kadosh Shabbos, white clothing they would give 3 days before Shabbos, Tzavuim, but colored clothing, which don't take so much time to clean, they would give a fil ber of Shabbos. Medivreim lamadnu, and based on what they just said, we learned halvanim koshim b'chapsam yoisim minatzvun. It's more difficult to clean white clothing than colored clothing, and therefore Rashi explains that if a launderer charges you for colored clothing more than for white clothing, you know that he's cheating you. I saw that the Sefer Ein Yitzchak explains what the Gemara homiletically, what the Gemara means to say is Alvonim Kashim Etzvun. Alvonim means Tzadikim. When a Tzadik does an Aveira, it's much more serious than when somebody who's not a Tzadik does an Aveira. Because when a Tzadik does an Aveira, it involves a Chilul Hashem. Abaye Havi Yovle, Ha'um Manad Tzviya, he gave colored garments, Lekatzra, to the laundry to wash it. Amalei kama basalai. How much is the charge? Amalei kedachivra. I'm charging you the same amount I would for white clothing. Amalei. So Abaye told him kvar kudmich rabbanon. I'm learning Gemara, and everything is in the Gemara, including this halacha that white clothing is more expensive, should be more expensive than dark clothing. Amar Abaye Haiman the yob mana lekatzra. If somebody gives clothing to the laundry, he should measure how big the clothing were before you give it, and then measure them when you take that back. If it's bigger, it's obvious that the launderer stretched them out. And if it's shorter, it's obvious that whatever he did, he caused it to shrink and ruined it. We learned further, everybody was agreeable, that you could put, even Beishami is agreeable, you could put beams on the olives and on the dates, on the grapes before Shabbos. Maishna asked the Gemara, why in all the situations, Gozer Beishami, the Beishami say you can't do anything before, you can't do anything on Erev Shabbos if it's going to continue being done on Shabbos? Well, Maishna asked the Gemara, why in this halacha are we learning that Kares Beis Abad, Vegule Gas, Deloi Gozru? Why is there this distinction? Hanach answers the Gemara. Hanach the Avale B'Shabbos, all the other cases that were mentioned in the Mishnah, if you would have done what you're doing on Shabbos, it would be an Issa D'Raisa. There would be a Chiyuv Chatas. And that's why Gozru Beis Shammai, that's why Beishamai in all these cases made a gzera that you shouldn't do them Erev Shabbos Imcha Sheikha. You shouldn't do it on Erev Shabbos. The Rishonim actually ask, the Pnei Yeshua asks, why does the Gemara say Erev Shabbos Im Chashecha? It should have said Erev Shabbos. According to Beis Shammai, you're not allowed to do these things already on Erev Shabbos. Says the Pnei Yeshua that if it's something that you could get done on Friday, or it's only, since it's much less of an Isser, even Beis Shammai would be agreeable that you could do it on Erev Shabbos. So again, Hanach, the Ovel Shabbos Mechayev Chattas, Gozer Beis Shammai Be'erev Shabbos Mechashecha. However, Kars Beis Abad V'Gulagas, the Ovel Shabbos, that even if you did it on Shabbos, the Halacha would be Loi Mechayev Chattas, you wouldn't be Chayev Chattas for doing it. That's why Loi Gozer Beis Shammai didn't say you're not allowed to do it on Erev Shabbos. Ask the Gemara, Mantana, who is the Tana, asked the Gemara, that indeed holds the Kol Midi Dasam Emela, that anything that will come anyway, is the juice will come out anyway, is not also to squeeze on Shabbos. Says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina, Rabbi Shmuel Hi. It represents the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel. The Tanan Hashum, chopped garlic, Vaboisa, unripe grapes, Mamlilos, unripe grain, Shariskim Abayjoim, when you already crush them on Erev Shabbos, you could continue allowing the process to continue even on Shabbos. Rekiva Omer, since you already began from before Shabbos, you're not accomplishing anything on Shabbos. Rekiva Omer, lo yigmar, you shouldn't. You shouldn't put them on Erev, even on chaff fruits, you shouldn't put anything on Friday, because we don't want them to, the juice to come out on Shabbos. Rebbe Elazar Omer, so here we see that this would follow the opinion of Yishmael. Rebbe Elazar Omer, Rebbe Elazar says, who is the Tana that says that something that's going to come out anyway, there is no Isser? Rebbe Elazar he. It represents the opinion of Rebbe Elazar. The Tanan, Chalash Tavash, honeycombs, Shariskon be'erev Shabbos, that you already broke them up from Erev Shabbos, V'yotzum atzmam, and then in Shabbos the honey comes out, Osir. You may not eat that honey in Shabbos, because Chazal, according to the Tanakama, were concerned that you may end up squeezing them in the first place in Shabbos. Rebbe Elazar, on the other hand, holds its mutter. So Rebbe Elazar, again, obviously is of the opinion that something that began already from Erev Shabbos is mutter. Ask the Gemara, Rebbe Yosef ben Chanina, my Tamalayom Rebbe Elazar, why did Rebbe Yosef ben Chanina not agree with that the Tana is Rebbe Elazar? Answers the Gemara, because Rabbi Yosef ben Chanina says that isn't a good raya. Why isn't that a good raya? Because hasam hu d'mikara oichel l'b'soif oichel. In the case of honey, it's originally a food. Even when the honey is in the chopped honeycomb, it's already a food, and at the end, it's a food. And therefore, that's why it doesn't. The squeezing of the chopped honey doesn't represent that I'm doing anything on Shabbos. However, the olives and the grapes, which I mentioned in our Mishnah, mikara oichel, were originally a food, the hashta mashka, now they were a liquid, and therefore that may not be the same. The Rifarshim point out that the Gemara's wording by the honey that's called an oichel is not actually accurate. Tosfos Rid points out that we know that honey is considered a mashka, because as we've spoken numerous times in our shiurim, that food is only mekabel tuma if you machshir it lekabel tuma, if it comes in contact with liquid. And one of the liquids that's always spoken about is honey. So we clearly see that honey is not a food, it's a liquid. So why does Rebbe Elazar hold, Rebbe Elazar da Moira, hold that Rebbe Elazar can be the Tana of our Mishnah? Rebbe Elazar Oymelach, Hashmina Leila Rebbe Elazar da Filu Zeisu Venami Shari. Rebbe Elazar's opinion wasn't only by honey. He said his opinion even by olives and grapes. For says the Gemara, the Chiyos Rebbe Yoshim and Ado, also of Isim Asnisim Beyode, he came with the following brisa. Zeis v'anovim shariskim erev Shabbos. If you chop these olives and grapes before Shabbos, v'yotz ma'atzmam, asurim, and we see clearly here, the Rebbe Elazar of Shimon Matirim. So that's why Rebbe Elazar da Moira says, I'm comfortable in saying that Rebbe Elazar is the Tana that allows you to work with grapes and olives that were already chopped up before Shabbos. So why does Rabbi Yosef Chanina now agree that the Tana of our Mishnah is certainly Rabbi Elazar? Rabbi Yosef Chanina, Braisa l'shmilei. He never heard this braisa, so he wasn't aware that Rabbi Elazar held this opinion even by grapes and olives. He thought he only maybe said it by honey. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Elazar, my tama la'amak Rabbi Yosef b'Chanina. Yes, Rabbi Elazar was able to prove that Rabbi Elazar the Tana is the Tana of our Mishnah. But clearly, Rabbi Shmuel could also very much be the Tana of our Mishnah. So why did he say that it's Rabbi Elazar? Why didn't he say, like Rabbi Yosef b'Chanina said, that it's Rabbi Shmuel? Amalach, so responds Rabbi Elazar the Meira, lav it malo, amar Rava bar Chanina, amar Rabbi Yochanan, m'chserm dicha de kol amalai plige. If there's no pounding, everybody agrees, there it's usher. So to understand this Gemara, we have to explain the way crushing went. First they did risuk. Risuk means chopping. Then they did dicha, which is pounding. And then they did shchika, which is mashing. Teaches us Rabbi Yochanan that the machloikas between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva does not apply when they were just chopped. In such a situation, even Rabbi Shmuel would agree that you can't put the weights on these chopped fruits before Shabbos, because the weights will actually be the way the juice will be extracted in Shabbos. B'mechsaron dicha kula amaloi pligi. Ki pligi, what is the machloikis? B'mechsaron shchika. When they weren't mashed. V'harani nami, and olive and grapes in our Mishnah, they didn't get pounded. And since they didn't get pounded, says Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shmuel would not be lenient in that such a situation. And since Rabbi Shmuel would not be lenient in such a situation, that's why I couldn't paskin like Rabbi Shmuel. Says the Gemara, however, Rabbi Yosef b'Chanina actually paskin halach l'maisa like Rabbi Shmuel. Says the Gemara, Shemen Shabadim. You have oil. Shemen shabadim, you have oil that's left over at the bottom of the pit where they squeeze the olives. And what they used to do with that oil was they gave it to the owner of the oil press as part of his payment. Or machtsolos shabadim. Machtsolos shabadim are the mats of the oil presses that they used to use to cover the oil. So we have a machloikus regarding Hilchas Muksa. Rav Osir, Rav says that they're Muksa, you can't touch them on Shabbos, you can't move them on Shabbos, and Shmuel holds its mutter. The problem with this pshat that Tosfos asks is that why are we learning Hilchas Muksa now? We're talking about Maisa Shabbos. And therefore Tosfos says that here we're talking about where we put the weights on the olives before Shabbos, and the olive is oozing out on Shabbos, and Rav holds that oil that comes out on Shabbos, we may not use, because there's a halacha of noilad. Noilad means that anything that only came into existence on Shabbos is muktzah, and Shmuel disagrees. Hani karchi dezuza, another situation where they used to make these different mats that were used to cover the material, the merchandise that was transported on a boat. Rav Osir, he says, the muksa, the Shmuel Shari, and again, Shmuel holds that it's mutter. Again, Rashi's pshat is, we have a machloikus of muksa. Aram Nachman, eis l'chalva, you have a goat that's there to give milk. Rochel l'gizasai, the purpose of this sheep is to use the wool. Tanagoilus lebeitzosa, a chicken that you're going to use for its eggs. The Torah de Radia, axe that you're going to use for plowing. The Tamri de Iska, dates that are used to take from one place to another place to where they're going to be sold there. Rav Osir, Rav says that all these things are muksa on Yontif. Since they, at the beginning of Yontif, they were huksula malachtam. They remain muksa for Shabbos, because the malacha that they're used for is also on Shabbos. B'shmul amamutar. Says the Gemara Kamifki, the machloikus that's being referred to in our Gemara is machloikus of Yehuda and Rav Shimon that we're going to have later in our Masechta when we speak about muksa. Rav Yehuda has a much broader application of muksa, and he says that anything that's designated for purpose that you can't do on Shabbos is muksar, and that is the opinion of Rav. And Reb Shimon holds that anything you can use on Shabbos and Yontif, even though that isn't what it's really there for, since it could have been used on Shabbos and Yontif, is not muksa. Says the Gemara, Hu Talmida, the Oiri Beir Charsa de Argus. There was a Talmud who passed in the city of Charsa de Argus, Reb Shimon, Shamte Reb Hamnuna. Reb Hamnuna put him to Cheirim. Asked the Gemara, for Reb Shimon's Sfirlei, we passing like Reb Shimon. So he was passing like Reb Shimon. What's wrong with what he did? Says the Gemara, Basid Rav Hava, this was taking place in the place where Rav was the Rav. And since Rav was the Rav, you shouldn't go against his psak, even though we don't passing like him in his city, Lo Yiboyle Mevet Hachem. The Gemara, later in Amasech Daf Kof Chof, Amar Aleph, teaches us in the Mishnah, that if there's a fire on Shabbos, Chas v'shalom, you could save bread. And the question is, how much? Because it says in the Gemara there that you could save 100 meals. And the question that the Gemara asks, that the Mishnah Daf Kuf Yud Zayin says you could only save 3 meals. So there's a machloikas amaroim over there how to answer this question. Rav Huna's opinion is that if you're saving them in many kalim, then you could only save 3 meals worth. But if you have them all in one keli, so it's not such a big tircha, you could take out even 100 meals. Rabbi Abba Bar Zavda answers it differently. He says, both are talking about that you're taking it out in many kalim. The Mishnah that says that you could only save 3 kalim is when you're carrying it into another chatzar. There we could only allow you to take for 3 meals. But when you're taking it to the same chatzar, you could take out even 100 meals. Then the Gemara over there brings a question that Rav Huna Bar Yeshua posed. The person took a number of kalim and put them all into one box. Is that considered like one keli or like many kalim? And the Gemara says that's considered like one keli. So says the Gemara, Hani Trei Talmidim. There were these two Talmidim that were arguing over this discussion that we just had. Chad Matzal B'chad Mona. One said you could fill up one keli with as much as you want and carry it out. V'chad matzel afil ba'arba chomish money. He said you could carry out in a number of kalim. V'kumifki, and their machloikus was what we just described, the machloikus of Rabbi Rav Zavda and Rav Huna.